Let me extend to each and every one a very warm welcome tonight to our weekly Bible study coming to you from Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. I do want to thank you for joining with us, and I do pray that the Lord will bless you as you even come to study God's Word and to hear it even brought to you this evening. We continue our study through the book of the Psalms, and as usual we take a psalm each week and we endeavour to look at it and to read it, to study it together. And so tonight is no different, and we come tonight to Psalm 61. The Psalm 61, and that psalm is entitled To the Chief Musician Upon Neginah, a psalm of David. Psalm 61, I encourage you, if you have a Bible, even to have it open before you and to follow along in the reading with me. Psalm 61, the verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever, and I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God for ever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name for ever, that I may daily perform my vows. Amen. And may God bless the reading of his word to each and to every heart. The Psalm 61 I've entitled the psalm this evening, A Tribulation to Triumph. Tribulation to Triumph. Let's have a moment's prayer as we come to consider this psalm. Father in heaven, we bow before thee, and we do thank thee for the privilege which is ours in bowing before the thrice holy God. We do thank and praise thee that thou art the one who has given us this book. And we do rejoice that thy word is true, and thy word has been settled in heaven forever. And O God, as we come around thy book this night, we do pray that thou wilt encourage us by thy word. We do pray, O God, that thou wilt teach us more of thee, and that we will know what it is even to trust in thee more fully, and for our knowledge to grow even of thee. We do acknowledge it every day that we are endeavouring to grow in grace in the things of God. We do pray that by the help of the Holy Spirit, that even this night that we will draw ever closer to thee, that as the hymn writer says, nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart, draw me, my Saviour, so precious thy art. May that be the realization experience for each one, that this night that we will draw even closer to thee for thine honour and for thy glory. Lord, bless us, we pray, and do us good, in Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. Lambie, who was a medical missionary in Africa, he had to cross many fast-moving streams during his journeys. And the danger in those crossings was in being swept off one's feet and being carried downstream against rocks and against and into dangerous swells. But Dr. Lambie, as he came, he observed and he learned from the natives. For as the native people there in Africa, as they came to cross those rushing streams, first of all they would bend down and they would lift up a heavy stone. They would put that stone upon their shoulder, and that heavy stone as they crossed would act as a ballast. And for whilst it was heavy, it kept their feet firmly on the ground, meaning that they couldn't be swept away. Dr. Lambie, he drew the application that while crossing the dangerous streams of life, enemies constantly seek to overthrow us, and we need the ballast of burden-bearing to keep us from being swept off our feet. You know, when you consider how many of the Psalms there are in this book of Psalms that deal with times in David's life when he was down and discouraged, that deal with times in David's life whenever he was going through trials and tribulations. And one after another, psalm after psalm, David, as we follow his life even through the book of Psalms, we can just see attack after attack, trial after trial, tribulation after tribulation, and it's just one after another. And how applicable this book is to our own lives today. You remember that trials and attacks don't mean that we have failed or that we have been cast off. David, as I said, he went through many times of trial and attack, but yet David, his name means beloved. And certainly he was not only loved by his family, but he was loved by God. And brethren and sisters, never think that because you go through a time of hardship or a time of trial, that God doesn't love you. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the Lord says there in that passage to Jeremiah, and we can apply it to our own lives, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And David had that everlasting love towards him. And each child of God, each one that is saved, each one that has given their lives and their hearts to the Lord, can rejoice this night that God loves us with an everlasting love. And that love will never decrease. That love will never disappear. That love is there forever. And yes, there are times of trials and tribulations in all of our lives. The Christian life is never painted or is never meant to be seen to be an easy life, as if it's just one rosy path the whole way to glory. There are times of hardship. There are times of valley experiences, but for the Christian, those times of trial, those times of tribulation within our lives, those times will always end in triumph. And there are just two sections and just two points I want to leave with you in relation to this Psalm 61 this evening. I want you to see in the first section, we're just going to split the Psalm equally into two parts, verses 1 to 4 and then verses 5 to 8. And the verse 1 to 4, I've looked at it under this, the cry to hear. The cry to hear. This psalm in its introduction, it doesn't provide us with the context in which it was penned, but rather it simply just opens up with David saying these words, hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. Hear my cry, O God. You know, some believe that this was penned, the commentators would believe that this psalm was penned in the early days of Absalom's uprising, whenever David had to flee for his life. And certainly as we've read that opening verse again, you can sense that as the psalm opens, there is an urgency about David. He begins with those words, hear my cry, attend unto my prayer. There is an earnestness in his words. He repeats it in a different way. He says, hear my cry, and then he goes on to say, attend unto my prayer. There's a double emphasis given. You see, for David, it was not simply enough to say his prayers. Some people believe that, well, you just have to say your prayers every day and tick that box and then everything's okay. And people will say, I said my prayers tonight. But if you ask them if they are sure that their prayers were heard, you see, that's the difference. There is a difference between simply saying prayers and then having your prayers actually heard. For someone just to rhyme off a stream of words and just to say, well, that was my prayers for today, and just think, oh, because I've said prayers, everything's okay. But there is a difference. Pharisees in the New Testament would rest on their prayers. You see, to the Pharisees in the New Testament, it was all about just saying words, saying prayers. It was about quantity of praying, and it was about the continuity of praying. And as long as they could say, I prayed so many prayers, and I did this, and I did that, to them, they felt okay. They felt, that's all I have to do. But David, in his time of need, he isn't content just to say prayers. He isn't just content to say something and then to be able to turn around and go, well, I've said a prayer today. See, David's crying aloud. He wants an audience in heaven. He says, Lord, hear my cry. Attend unto my prayer. In other words, Lord, I need to be heard in heaven. I need you to hear me. I don't need the men around me to know that I've prayed. I don't need the nation to know that I'm praying. I don't need just myself to say, oh, I've prayed. I need to be heard in heaven. He needed the infinite wisdom of God to show him what to do, to show him what God's will was for his life. The verse 2, he says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. From the end of the earth will I cry. It's not literally saying I'm at the very end of the earth, but both figuratively and emotionally. He is being exiled again from his home. And this time it's an even greater one because, yes, he was exiled in the past during Saul's time, but now he is king. He is being exiled from his people. He is being exiled from his home. He is being exiled from his family circle, but he is also being exiled from the sanctuary of the Lord. He's unable to go into worship where he normally did. You know, it's interesting in this psalm, in the time when his reign was under threat, when his family, his home was being taken away, as it were, he was having to flee from them. Yet his mind is constantly on the house of the Lord, and constantly on the fact that he cannot go to the tabernacle, he cannot go and worship as he once did. The verse 4, he speaks of it again. He says, I will abide in the tabernacle forever. You know, I wonder, is that the case for us at this time? I wonder how high in our priorities and the list of things that we miss individually during this lockdown, when shops are closed, all of the different activities that we once did or were unable to do. But I wonder on that list, where is God's house? Where is the place of worship? How much do we miss God's house compared to everything else? Is it that thing that we are longing first to be opened, that we want to get back to the house of the Lord before we want to get back to all of the social activities, that God's house is preeminently in our minds? You know, it was David who wrote the Psalm 122 in the verse 1. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There was a joy, you see, for David in being found in God's house. There was a joy for David to go up with God's people and to come together, to worship together, to joy together, and to even have that time around God's word. And yet for David, as it is for every Christian, he knew that even though it was impossible for him at that time, he knew that even though he couldn't go to the house of the Lord as he once did, yet he could still cry to the Lord. And he could still be heard of the Lord. And he could still be helped of the Lord wherever he was, not just in God's house. See, some people think you have to be in God's house to pray. You have to be in God's house to worship. You can't do it from your home. That's not true. You can pray anywhere. You can pray at any time. You can worship at any time. You can praise at any time. You can read God's word at any time. You can study it at any time. You can hear sermons, thankfully, even through this modern technology, at any time, day or night. You can go on to the different means that are there. You can listen to God's word. So wherever you are, when you feel overwhelmed, let me encourage you, cry on to the Lord. Look to him. Even at this time, whenever churches are shut, even at this time, whenever things have changed so much, yet the Lord is still there to cry on to. The Lord is still there to turn to. The Lord is still there to be heard of, to be heard and to even help you in your situations. C.H. Spurgeon, he wrote this, he said, it is hard to pray when the very heart is drowning, but yet gracious men plead best at such times. Tribulation brings us to God and brings God to us. You see, our faith's greatest triumphs are achieved in her heaviest trials. And we see that in David, that under those heavy, overwhelming trials, yet his faith is strong and yea, is strongest. For he finishes the verse by saying, the verse number 2, he finishes it by saying, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. His faith is in Christ. He's looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of his salvation. You know, that phrase, that petition alone, it highlights something wonderful. For David, as he's praying, he's looking, he's acknowledging, yes, he longs to be found even closer and in higher ground with the Lord Jesus Christ. But it also shows that verse, that ending of that verse, what's he showing? He's showing the work of the Trinity in his own life. He's praying to the Father, remember this. He's asking the Father, he's saying, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. That is a prayer towards God the Father. He's praying to be hidden in Christ. That rock Christ Jesus. And you think of that verse He have lifted me up out of the miry clay. He have set my feet upon the rock. That's Christ. And time and again, that is where our founding is. That is where our surety is. That is where our standing is. That is where our steadfastness is. It is all in Christ. But he's also praying not only to the Father, and praying to be hidden in Christ, but then the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, he's praying for his work, because he says, lead me to the rock. And we've looked at it already in the past. The nurture of the Holy Spirit is to lead and to guide the church, to lead and to guide the Christian. And so David, he's praying to the Father, Father, lead me to the rock. He's praying for the Son, that he will be found on the rock and in Christ Jesus. And he's praying to be led by the Spirit. You know, it's an amazing and a humbling thought. The Trinity is involved in creation. The Trinity is involved in the sustaining of the world. The Trinity was involved in the coming of Christ into this world. The Trinity was involved in all aspects of his life. The Trinity was involved in the purchasing of our redemption upon the cross. That sacrifice of Christ that was towards God, he had the power of the Spirit upon him. The Trinity was involved in the resurrection of Christ. It was in accordance with the will of the Father that the Son was raised up by the power of the Spirit. All of those great acts, yea, the greatest acts that have ever taken place in history, have all been accomplished and done by the Trinity. And yet it's that exact same triune God that has done all of the greatest things, that have done all and accomplished all of the greatest acts. Yet that is exactly who David is relying on for his individual life. Child of God, that's a reality for you and that's a reality for me. Yes, the God of heaven and of earth, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, infinite in power, infinite in wisdom, over all things, and yet they're concerned and they're working for the individual. Out of all of the billions of people, and yet the Trinity of God has an interest and a care for you. John 14, the verse 16. Christ there, as he spoke to his disciples, he said, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. You see, Christ, each one that is purchased by his precious blood, each one that is saved, Christ cares for us. The Father cares for us. The Spirit cares for us. And David saw that even in his day. He knew that God could not and would not change. He knew that the God who kept him in the past and delivered him from the bear and the lion, the God that had delivered him or delivered Goliath into his hand, the God that had protected him in his time of exile from Saul, the God who had protected him and brought him to the throne in the first place, would protect him and keep him even in this time of exile again because of Absalom. See, that's why David says in the verse 3, thou hast been a shelter for me. That's past tense. He's looking back. He's acknowledging the goodness of God in times past and all of those different times of danger, times of distress. And he's acknowledging, Lord, you were the shelter. You were the one who protected me. You were the one who kept me. But then he goes on to say in the verse 4, I will abide in thy tabernacle. I will trust. And that's present, that's future tense together. He's abiding in it now, and he's going to continually and constantly abide in it. The God of shelter in the past is the God of the shelter for the present, is the God of the shelter for the future. You see, God is unchangeable. Malachi 3 in the verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. So, child of God, brethren and sisters, just as the Lord has brought you through every trial and every hardship up until this very point, and you can look back over your life and you can see the Lord's hand and how he sustained thee, how he kept you, how he watched over you, how he brought you through those dark and those troubling situations, and he preserved you, he kept you, he's brought you to this very point, you can trust him for now and you can trust him for the future. You trust the God of miracles. Even as that song says, I know who holds the future. He'll guide me with his hand. And it goes on to say, trust the God of miracles. Give to him your all. The cry to be heard. Then the second half of the psalm I want you to see in the verses 5 to 8. The confidence of being heard. The confidence of being heard. David had started with the words, you remember in verse 1, hear my cry, O God. But then in verse 5, he's able to say, for thou, O God, hast heard my voice. So David's moving from hear me, now he's able to say, thou hast heard. You know, in reality, the second half of this psalm, the focus, the emphasis given by David is completely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows that the reason he has heard is Christ. He knows that the reason that he will be preserved is also Christ. Remember, by this stage in David's life, if this is the time whenever Absalom came against him and he had to flee from his own son, you remember by this stage God has had already revealed to him the covenantal heritage that there would be through the line of David. 2 Samuel 7, whenever Nathan came and revealed the word of God and the plan of salvation, even to David at that time, David had to survive. David and his lineage, his family heritage, had to survive. Not just for David's sake or for David's cause, but rather for the cause of Christ. The Lord had promised David a throne forever. Psalm 89, verse 36, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. And of course we know that that verse has been fulfilled in Christ. Acts 2 and verse 25. It says there by the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, he says, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. And so David, yes, he's in a time of trouble. He's in a time of trial. And yet even in the midst of that personal trial, that real personal danger and distress for him, his mind always turns to the cause of Christ. And his mind always turns to the gospel of grace. You know what an example that is to us all. So often we can become so caught up in our own circumstances, and we become so invexed and so focused and convulsed, as it were, in our own situation, that we forget about Christ. That we forget about the cause of Christ. That we forget about the gospel of Christ. And yet David, this entire second half of this psalm, it's all towards Christ. He spoke about the cause of Christ. He spoke about the gospel of grace. He spoke about Christ's kingship, Christ's throne, Christ's reign, that Christ's glory would abide forever. And David knows that if that happens, then he abides, and we abide and reign in him. You see, when we are in Christ, we are made to sit in the heavenlies with him. When we're in Christ, we are made prophets, priests, and kings in Christ. In him that we will experience his mercy, his grace, and his truth forever. And surely that ought to thrill our hearts. Even as it did for David, as he went down through those final verses, he's speaking about the prolonging of the king's life. And he's speaking about the years, as many generations, the fact that Christ will abide forever, the fact that Christ is enthroned in glory, the fact that Christ will be King of kings and Lord of lords for all eternity. And David, as he finishes, he's so thrilled, he's so rejoicing, and he considers his Saviour. Oh, at the beginning of the psalm, he had cried audibly, hear my cry, O God. And so as he cried audibly in his distress, so he sang audibly in his delight. As he finishes the psalm with the words, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever. Child of God, keep your eyes fixed upon Christ in the good times and in the bad times. Keep trusting in the covert of his wings, as it speaks about in the verse 4. Keep relying on the goodness and the mercy of Almighty God, that it will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, that was the joy that David had in his life. That was the confidence that he had in his life. That God was in control, that Christ was on the throne, that God was over all things, and Christ will reign forever. That's the joy that I have today. That even with circumstances that are beyond our control in this world, even everything that's going on at this time, yet my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the one who has saved me by his precious blood. He is the one who will keep me forever. He is the one that is coming back one day to gather his people unto himself, and we will reign with him forever. We will be with him forever. That's the joy that we have, even in the midst of hard times, in the midst of sad times, that Christ is there. And Christ will always be there. He is the unchangeable one. He is the great King of Kings, the great King of heaven and of earth. And I hope and I trust and I pray that each one that is listening, that he is your Saviour. If he's not, he can be tonight. He can be wherever you are. You simply have to turn from your sin and ask the Lord to save you. Give your life completely to him. Tell the Lord, Lord, I trust you completely. I'm putting my faith and trust in you. I'm turning away from my sins. I'm asking you, Lord, to save me. And he's promised he will. He's promised that he'll wash you whiter than snow. And he'll take you to be with him one day. And you'll reign with him forever. I trust and pray that the Lord will bless his word to each and to every one of our hearts. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, we bow before thee with praise and with thanksgiving in our hearts. We do rejoice in the goodness and the mercy of Almighty God. We rejoice in our Saviour, the one who sits upon the throne, the one who will remember his own. And oh Father, we just pray that thou wilt encourage and even speak through thy precious word to each and to every heart, to be any that are outside of Christ, that this will be the night of their salvation, when they cry unto thee, and they ask the Lord to save them, and they put their faith and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for thy children, that thou wilt encourage them, O God, and that thou wilt speak to them, and even draw them ever closer to thee. Lord, bless at this time in our nation, undertake for the great needs that there are. We just ask, O God, for the greatest need of all, the spiritual need in our land, that thou wilt send a gracious and a heaven-sent revival, that thou wilt turn men and women unto thyself, that their eyes will be open, and, O God, that the Spirit will be working in many hearts. Lord, bless us even now, in Jesus' name. Amen. And let me thank you once again for joining with us. I do really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. And let me encourage you once again to spend that time even in your own house praying now, praying over the word that you've heard, and praying even for the need in our land. Remember to pray for each other and to pray for the church as a whole, that the Lord will keep his hand upon it. May God bless each one for his own name's sake. Amen.